All right, I'm here with Danny Shillam, a friend of mine from Houston and a basketball fan. He's going to talk to us a bit about the Western Conference. Danny, let's start with the obvious one. With Houston's moves this offseason, how do you think they stack up with the rest of the West?
I mean, I think they're pretty good. They improved a lot center-wise, obviously. You got Amaris Sheik, who's got great defensive capabilities, but literally pretty limited offensive capabilities. And now you have Dwight Howard, who's great. The only problem is a lot of the teams got better as well. You look at the Clippers, and I love what they did shooting guard-wise. They got rid of Eric Bledsoe, but they picked up some solid three-point shooters that Chris Paul can just throw a pass to at any time. I think the Rockets overall, I think they'll probably, I think they'll get home court advantage. I just don't see them getting above the top three. I have them as a four seed right now.
Yeah, behind, let's say, OKC, San Antonio, and the Clippers?
Exactly. All yeah. Right. The way I see it, there are three tiers. The top two are obviously the Spurs and the Thunder. And then between three and six, I think it's going to be about two or three games difference between them. And then pretty much five teams after that will be fighting for those last few spots.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Do you think, well, let's talk about today's news. You know, what do you think about Greg Oden and the Heat? Does that concern you as a Western Conference partisan?
I mean, I'd like him to play two games first before before he actually count him as part of news.
Yep.
Yeah. Greg Oden, he had a great college career. He had a great one game in the NBA. And then
yeah, I mean, it really sounds like, you know, we're talking about Oden, and it really sounds like he is saying, I wanted to go to a team where I don't have to play for a while, which is a strange thing to say for a guy trying to make a comeback. It was important to him to be able to sit on the bench for a long time, which doesn't make you feel good, exactly.
No, I mean, maybe he's waiting for his left leg to catch up to his right in terms of length.
Quite sure. Yeah, they're... It'll grow. It's going to grow. They're going to be equal. All right. A lot of people making fun of the Dallas offseason. I think unreasonably so. You know, there were two ways they could have gone with this. They could have gone with not having very much and hoping for that big star still. Or they could try to win some games while they still have Jerick. Obviously, they went for the second one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could have spent their money better if they were going to spend their money. But what do you think?
I mean, who'd you sign? You signed Monta Ellis, you signed Hope Calderon.
Yep.
Who else you got? You got...
D'Alembert.
I mean, you got it to win now. I've got y'all making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're in that third tier. I think you're going to be fighting with Minnesota, Portland, Denver, possibly the Lakers. Yep. I don't see the Lakers getting the playoffs this year, but I think winning now is probably the best thing for you. Dirk's not going to rebuild, and there wasn't anyone in the draft this year. And honestly, if y'all can swing some trades for 2014 free agent class, that might set you up a little bit better. But I don't see any problem with it. If you didn't get Howard, you're pretty much needing to kind of scramble.
Yeah, no.
And Josh Smith wasn't going to be a good fit for the Mavs.
Wasn't going to be a good fit. What do you think about Monta Ellis? He's kind of a polarizing figure.
I like him spotting up. I don't like him with the ball in his hands.
Right.
I feel a Calderon with Monta Ellis might be the worst defensive twosome in the NBA.
It's been said before. They might be the worst.
With Calderon at the helm, he'll get the ball to the spots that people need him.
Right.
And Monta Ellis can't, with an open three-point shot in the last couple minutes of the game, he's one of the better ones. I think he's one of the underrated clutch shooters.
All right.
I would say. I remember last year, the Warriors played the Rockets, and he made this turnaround 28-foot three-point shot to win the game. And I mean, you look at that. They're with the Rockets. They had a two-game lead on the Lakers and lost it for the eighth seed. In that one game, It can happen with any team, though.
That's right. Yeah, so do you think there are going to be any surprises this year? Because it's gonna, it looks like basically the same cast of characters. Yeah. I mean, I feel like last year we kind of had this idea, and I never liked it, but it was out there that, you know, Miami is either going to win or they didn't try hard enough or something else happened. And then we got to the playoffs, and then what a lot of other people have been saying, which is, you know, this narrative is not right. Miami is very good, but there are other very good teams in the league. Indiana is very good. San Antonio is very good. That turned out to be true, and I think they gave Miami a hard time because they were about equally as good, which is not an idea a lot of people had. Even farther out, though, is the idea that there's going to be any sort of real surprise. I mean, basically, you figure the teams that can win the championship this year are Miami, maybe Indiana, maybe Brooklyn's done enough, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, maybe the Clippers, and that's about it. Do you think that there could be a surprising team coming out of nowhere this year?
As far as the West, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see Houston quite being there just yet. I don't see Memphis being there. The only one that could possibly surprise you, I would say, in the West is Golden State. I can see Golden State just kind of doing what the Rockets did last year, just shooting the lights out. And they would need a ton of things to go right. Like, they need Bogut for the whole 82 games. Harrison Barnes would need to be much better, but I'm scared that Andre Iguodala being on board, he'll kind of limit his potential a little bit this season. As far as the East, though, I think Indiana's it. I think that's Brooklyn reminds me so much of the Lakers in 04 when they're just like, let's bring every old Hall of Famer onto this team. There's no way we can lose.
You know, that's a great point. I mean, that's the Nets guys are about the same age, right? As you know, Malone and Payton were back then, and everybody, the funny thing about the team is everybody assumed it was going to win easily, and it didn't, but it did make the finals.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's it didn't work as well as some people thought, and then again, maybe it did. You know, it's one of the things interesting about Brooklyn, and again, these sorts of things that you say almost never work out, but they're building around a point guard who's a pretty good point guard, as opposed to Kobe, who is a sociopath who can't be brought to pass to other people under any circumstances. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you that I think Indiana has a better chance, but I don't know. I think your Golden State point is great. I mean, they added Iguodala. They didn't really lose anybody, right? I mean, you got great shooting backcourt of Steph Curry, Thompson. You have Barnes in his second year, so that's exciting. And you have David Lee, who got injured in the playoffs, and they still gave the Spurs a tough time. And they have Andrew Bogut, who could still be.
And they even pawned off every horrible contract that they ever signed.
That was maybe, you know, as a Mavericks fan, that was like so, it made me so angry. I mean, it was something that I knew was possible and had been saying for years. So I wasn't as surprised as some other Mavericks fans. But the fact that they, in 5 minutes, did what the Mavericks had been doing for 2 years.
Yeah.
had about as good a shot.
Y'all had Eric Dampier for, what, 15 years before he
came? Yeah, 35 years or so. But, you know, I mean, the Mavericks, like, they sold out the championship team because they thought there was no way that they could possibly, you know, do that later when they had a chance at a free agent. And then here comes Golden State, who competed with the Spurs in the playoffs last year, and they were like, now we want to get rid of all our bad contracts, and they did it. Very impressive. So I think that is true. I think Golden State is a strong contender. You worry about the injuries, Steph Curry's ankle, David Lee's everything, Andrew Bogut's everything, and
the ankle.
Yeah, and they're thin. I mean, I went to Summer League this year, and it was great, you know, it was a fun time. Eventually you go pretty crazy watching a lot of mediocre basketball. You just got, you know, you got all these guys who like are just desperate to make a team, so it's not like they're swinging it around the perimeter, you know, they're jacking it up every time. But Kent Bazemore was just about the best player I saw there, and
really?
That may be a statement on how bad Summer League is, but on the other hand, it may mean that Golden State's bench is better than we think. So they're certainly one to watch.
Did you get a chance to see McLemore out of Sacramento?
Yes. He looked bad early. He took a lot of bad shots, and then he started looking pretty good. So I don't know. You know, the funny thing for me with Summer League was there's this team there, the D-League Select, and I don't know why they were there or what the arrangement was, but
yeah, they do it every year.
Yeah, and they kept beating a lot of these Summer League teams, and you're like, what does that mean? I guess that means that the D-League is better than Summer League. Seems likely, right? Summer League guys, if they can make D-League rosters, they would. They weren't beating D-League teams by as much, and people were making more of it than it was, but whatever, they were beating D-League teams, Summer League teams. And then it's like, how good is Summer League? You know, I mean, like, was McLemore's problem that he had trouble adjusting to how good Summer League was compared to college, or is Summer League even better than college? I don't know. D-League is better than college, probably considerably. But is the Summer League. So the question is, like, was McLemore in a slump? Is he actually not as good as people think, or what? I don't know.
I know, basically when I saw him playing for Kansas, he was great when being passed the ball, when he passed, got the ball from a direct pass. But once he had to create his own shot, it was a real issue. And I feel like he, as far as Summer League went, one of the major issues was he just kept getting exposed as not a person who creates a shot for himself.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, he was obviously the best player or the most talented player on his team. So I guess, yeah, you know, if you give him somebody...
That's a problem. You got a top 10 draft pick who's supposed to be... who's now replacing Tyreek Evans to the Pelicans. For what the Pelicans, I think,
the Pelicans, yeah, that's a good name.
I don't know what's more funny, the fact that they changed the name to the Pelicans or the fact that they signed Tyreek Evans to a $44 million contract.
Yep.
But he's the guy that's supposed to replace him, and I feel like Jimmer Fredette is sitting on the bench for the Kings, and he's doing the same thing, and he can create his shot better than McLemore can.
That'd be very bad news for the Kings if that were true.
Yeah.
I don't know myself. You know, the Mavericks, they really wanted these three point guards, you know, one of them, Trey Burke or CJ McCollum or Michael Carter Williams. I can't remember how Burke did, but Carter Williams had a lot of trouble in Summer League. You know, he missed a lot of shots. McCollum looked pretty good.
Too. I think he had like a 1-for-14 game, something
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling is that Burke was bad, but I don't remember specifically. That, you know, it's just really weird how that you spend years watching these guys in college and you can't even predict whether they'll be good in Summer League.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. With Summer League, one, it's guys trying to make the team. Two, it's guys trying to not get injured. You're going to see a lot of these first or these second year players just like trying to grease the wheels a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I obviously watch more Houston, and players like Patrick Beverley, Terrence Jones, and I want to put a stomp on every player that he played against, but that's kind of bad with his whole stomping on a homeless
currently
person.
Doesn't sound good for Terrence.
But these guys, they're doing so well, and then their backups to the Summer League come in, and they don't know what they're doing. Like, these guys, a lot of these guys in Summer League or D-League, they probably do better because they've played with these teams before, and they've learned NBA schematics because these are drop-down levels, and the fact that they've learned these schematics kind of puts them a little bit ahead, I think. Yeah. I think that's why you probably saw closer scores than you would expect out of these superstar college players.
That's a good point. You know, and one thing, you know, I was jealous watching Atlanta's Summer League team. They had Lucas Nogueira from Brazil and Dennis, I think, Schrader, one of whom was a guy that a lot of people thought the Mavs were going to pick. They needed a PG. Schrader's German. Dirk's German. You know, a lot of those lines were connected that didn't necessarily need to be. And Nogueira, along with, what's his name, Kelly Olynyk, were both drafted by the Mavericks for someone else. So, you know, watching those guys, knowing that they were guys the Mavericks could easily have had, I was pretty jealous. I mean, it was a shame not to get to see Shane Larkin. Do you have any Shane Larkin thoughts? I didn't watch him much in college.
I mean, I didn't watch him much either. I just knew he was kind of he was a go-getter. He's typical Mavericks point guard, 6 foot, like, nothing, probably in shoes.
Yep.
And can shoot the ball. I'm not that familiar with him, honestly. I just know he was seen as a great. I heard he was seen as a great pick for y'all.
Yeah, I mean,
The only question is, he's injured already.
Right. Yeah, the thing that people say about him is, you know, he's got a great heart. You know, he reminds you of Trey Burke in that way. And he is a great shooter, which Trey Burke is not. And he created a lot of points out of the pick and roll, which the Mavericks are very into for the obvious Dirk-related reasons.
Yeah.
On the other hand, as you say, he is just like Rudy, 5 foot nothing, 200 pounds nothing. Yeah. You know, he's not a big dude. And he's not, you know, he's not that good a point guard. He doesn't pass that well. And now, of course, the Mavericks have 9 million guards.
But I think, who do y'all have after Jose Calderon? You're not going to let Monte Ellis play the point.
No, but they got Devin Harris on a league minimum. They got Gollum Mekel from Israel.
My boy.
Danny's from Israel himself. So there was a thing the other day. I don't know if you saw this. The chief rabbi of Israel. Did you see this thing?
No, I didn't see this.
He used a racial slur. Are you familiar with the term? Well, I won't use the term. But anyway, it's a Hebrew word for black people, which isn't great to use. And he was exhorting the Orthodox Jews not to watch basketball that much in Israel because it made them look bad, since a lot of you may not know this, but many Orthodox Jews are the only people in Israel who don't have to be drafted by the army, because the idea is that they are providing the country a service with their studies. Uh-huh. So if instead they're watching basketball, it doesn't look that good. And he said, you know, don't worry about this, because you know, what does it matter if the Kushim is the word from, you know, Israel beat the Kushim from Greece or whatever. And in addition to that being a racial comment that wasn't great, what made it funny to me is because the Israeli players who are in the NBA, Omri Caspi, I guess, is still hanging on somewhere. Maybe he's gone. And
no, he's on the Rockets.
All right, he's in there. And Gal Mekel are, of course, white people. So I found that a strange comment, and this is an opportunity to talk about current events. It's not really relevant to this podcast. Do you watch Israeli basketball? Do you know anything about Gal Mekel? Do you have any insights here?
I've got nothing. I am ashamed of my lack of knowledge of Israeli basketball players.
Right.
I used to follow him back in the day when, what's his name? He played at UConn, and then for the Israeli National. It was way 94, 95, 96, yeah, like around that time.
Yeah.
And, his name was Sheffer. And he was, like, probably the most famous Israeli. Like, I remember my uncle talking about him. He's like, have you seen this guy? He's going to make the NBA. He's going to be amazing. I'm like, he's going to be a 12th man. He's not going to do it.
You know what I love about Israeli? So, like, you go to, you know, like, a new Japanese pitcher plays in the MLB, and there are, like, 9 million Japanese reporters around him at his locker, right? This is just a phenomenon people know about. You know, I go to Israel, and I ask about Omri Caspi, like, oh, Omri Caspi, he's not very good. You know, I mean, this is like quintessentially Israeli for me. They don't BS you, those people.
You know what? He had a good rookie season. He had a really good rookie year. I think he scored something like 10 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, hit a 3 game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really ask for much more than that from a second round. I think he was a second round pick.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great start, but going back to Gal Mekel being in the lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You got 4 point guards. Jose Calderon's probably going to get injured at some point.
Sure.
Either him or Devin Harris is going to be out for at least half the season.
Yeah, Devin Harris already having surgery, probably going to miss training camp.
There you go.
I guess the other guy they got is Ricky Ladeau. Are you familiar with him at all?
The name sounds familiar.
Ladeau was like a top 5 rated prospect coming out of high school. He went to Providence College, but he didn't play. He was academically ineligible. To me, his name sounds like he's from Cobra Kai and the Karate Kid. But he was a second round draft pick for the Mavericks, and he's a talented guy who didn't show that much in summer league. But he's a 2 guard probably.
I tend to I know you've read Bill Simmons's book, Book of Basketball, and there's a piece in there where he talks about just like looking at the name. Sometimes just looking at the name of the player, you know that they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, you look at Gum Mechel.
Yeah.
Like, you know that's names never going to come across again.
You know, Gum Mechel, interesting story, because he played at Wichita State before he went to go play for Israel. Mm-hmm. So he played whatever. But when I watched Gall in Summer League, I started out being hopeful, and I ended up not being that hopeful. Over dribbles, over penetrates, and doesn't find the right guy, just finds a guy so far. Maybe he can learn. Looking forward to it, but
coming from a school like Wichita State, he's the only guy drafted. Like, he's probably the best player on the team. I didn't follow NCAA nearly as much as I wanted to, but I would assume, coming from Wichita State, he was one of the top two players on the team, and he wasn't looking for other guys. He needed to score. That's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think, we got 20 minutes of this stuff here, so I think maybe we'll wrap up. Do you have any final comments on the Western Conference, Mavs, the Rockets?
Let's see. Mavs, I see as a 7 seed. Rockets as a 4. I think the Mavs might surprise some people this year. I think they've got a lot of firepower, not a lot of defense. But if they are hot, I think they can probably do pretty well and slip into the playoffs this year.
All right. I
see them beating out Portland, Denver, and the Lakers for a spot, and then Minnesota, my surprise team, I guess.
Yeah, that seems likely to me. You know, one of those, I think they're a little better than those guys, and that'll be close between them and many. Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on. Good talking with you, and have a good day.
All right, you too. We'll do this again.
Sounds good.
All right.